Well, praise the Lord. We, on Sundays right now, in a series about renewing our minds with the Word of God, and I really believe that's what we're going to do here tonight with the Word of God. This is a good example. This Word is a good example of how we need to renew our minds. You know, Luke chapter 24, it tells about two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and as they walked along, Jesus walked along with them, and they didn't realize who he was until later when he broke bread, and then their eyes were opened and he disappeared from their sight. But they had been with Jesus for that time, and they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? And yet they were unaware that it was Jesus. Well, how would you like to see Jesus today? Not getting up an early trip or anything, but the scripture tells us about some people that wanted to see Jesus. They had a request to see Jesus. It's in John chapter 12, verses 20 through 24. It says, there's a certain Greeks among those who came to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, now this is Jesus' response to, hey, there's some people that want to see you. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Glorified how? Well, he's talking about his death and resurrection. But he says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. What is this grain of wheat? He's talking about his own life. He's talking about that as long as he's alive, it's just him. He can just be one place at a time. But if that grain of wheat dies, then it will produce a great harvest. What's he talking about? He's talking about you and me. He's talking about the body of Christ, that when that grain of wheat died, that then he would be all over the world through his people, the church, his body. The Bible says that the fullness of him that fills all in all. So people want to see Jesus today. They need to look at the church. Y'all got real quiet except for Jimmy. You see, this is not the attitude of the world. It's not the attitude of church culture, but it is what the scripture teaches, is that the church is his body. Amen. In the earth today. If the world is going to see Jesus, let me tell you how they're going to see him. They're not going to see him, you know, come floating into their living room. They're going to see him in the body of Christ, in the people of God who have the Spirit of God. Now, you might be thinking already with me, well, we don't really measure up. I know. And you know why part of the reason we don't? Is because we don't realize this is who we are. We need to renew our minds with the Word of God and quit settling for this old watered-down version of what Christianity is supposed to be. We're supposed to be Jesus in the earth today. Jesus makes it real clear that when he dies, it's going to produce much grain. He's talking about us. Here's that, Ephesians 1, 22, just the last of 22, and then into verse 23, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. See, sometimes people read things like this or they hear things like this and they think this is just religious words. You know, well, this is just some kind of flowery language. It doesn't really mean anything. Yeah, it does. This is the Word of God. It is laying out spiritual truth. This is more true, this is more real than the things you see with your eyes. The things that you see with your eyes are temporary. This is going to live forever. And he says, the church, his body. The church is his body. The fullness of him that fills all in all. All around the world, the church. Don't look for Jesus in a long white robe. You're probably not ever going to have that kind of visitation here on earth. Some do, not many. But we need to realize Jesus is alive and well on planet earth in his body, in his people. This is one of the most fantastic truths of the New Testament, is that the church is the body of Christ. We experience his love from one another. Now, certainly, there are times when you just feel the presence of God and we experience the love of God that way, certainly. But you know what? So often, if you need a word of encouragement, he's going to have a brother or sister in the Lord give you a word of encouragement. If you need a hug one day, it's going to be somebody in the body of Christ that hugs you. You know, if you need prayer because you're sick, like we prayed a few minutes ago, listen, it's going to be a brother or sister in the Lord that prays for you or lays their hands on you. You know, if maybe you need a financial blessing, it's going to be a brother or sister in the Lord that brings that financial blessing to you, and you thank God for it because, you know, it's from God, but it comes through his body. And I'm just telling you that this is how the body of Christ works. It's Jesus living in us. It's not just flattery. It's not vain talk. It's the word of the Lord. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Have you received him? Yes. John 1:12, as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. See, the world is always trying to water everything down, trying to change the meanings of things. And this is one of those. Well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. You got to be born of God to be a child of God. You got to be born of the Spirit. This is what the Bible teaches. Don't buy into this garbage that the world tries to propagate. They don't even believe in him, and they say we're all children of God. What double talk? We're not all children of God. You got to be born again. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you put your faith and trust in him and you are born of the Spirit, you are literally born of God. And when you're born of God, you have a new nature. You're not the same old person. You've become a new creation in Christ. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Who is in you? Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, he is in you, and he's greater than anything in this world. He lives inside of us. Do we really believe this stuff, that he, the greater one, lives in us? Listen to what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. Have you been crucified with Christ? I know this is kind of getting deep for tonight on a Wednesday night, just flying through here, but I'm telling you that as a child of God, as a believer, your old nature is crucified on the cross with Christ. It's a spiritual truth, whether you understand it tonight or not. I'm just telling you, it's a spiritual truth. But then he goes on, he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We need to get that. It's not about me. It's no longer me who lives. See, the world says, you know, you got to be you, do you. Baloney. Be Jesus, do Jesus. It's no longer me, but it's Jesus that lives in me. Now, I want to tell you, I fail at this every day, including today. But I know this is spiritual truth. And I know if I renew my mind, then at least I got a chance of walking in this truth and living it. But as long as I just dwell and go on in ignorance and spiritual stupidity, I'm never going to be Jesus. I'm never going to act like Jesus. And we need to take these scriptures to heart, renew our mind with the word of God. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. No longer I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. See, we can't do this on our own. No, we're not talking about our goodness. We're talking about doing this by faith. We live this life by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But Christ lives in me. No longer I who live, he says, but it's Jesus living in me. So we're a new creation in Christ. He's given us the word of truth. In John 17, he says that we might be sanctified. He's given us the Holy Spirit so we can walk in the Spirit and be spiritual people. But we need to renew our minds with the Word of God so we can live the way He wants us to. He's given us everything that we need so that we can be like Jesus. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. I hope you're taking notes because I'm giving you a bunch of scriptures tonight. Don't be one of those people, you hear the Word of God and you just say, well, that ain't what I believe. You make up your mind, I believe the Word of God. And if I don't understand it, that doesn't mean it's not true. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you start reading an algebra book, and unless, you know, most of us, that was a long time ago, right? But I'm talking about before you took algebra. You know, you go back to that, and you start reading an algebra book, and I will guarantee you there are going to be some things you don't understand the first time. Does that mean it's not true? See, that's just stupid thinking. Well, that ain't what I've been taught. It's the Bible. Let's just stick to the Scripture. I won't ever apologize for the Scripture. I'm telling you, it is God's word to us. It is truth. Here's what he says. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, there's a promise right there. He's got all power. His divine power has given all things to us that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. See, I'm just talking about a few of those promises tonight. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That we are the body of Christ in the earth today. That Christ lives in me. Listen, these are exceeding great and precious promises. There's so many of them. But he says that through these you might be or may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But notice this. Through these great promises. See, it's not some just automatic thing, you know, you got born again and God zapped you. No, it's through these great promises, these exceeding great and precious promises, that we are partakers of the divine nature. You need to believe the promises of the Word of God and realize that that divine nature, that's who you are in Christ. As a new creation in Christ, you have a new nature like your Father. See? Not like our old father, Adam. Some people think they're better than others. They think their family's better than others. I got to tell you, we all go back to Adam. Moving right along. I'm telling you, we need to let this Jesus that's on the inside of us, we need to let him show out a little more on the outside. We need the purpose in our life every day to let Jesus live in us. Romans 13, 14 says this, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Put on the Lord Jesus. That means we all need to get us some long white robes and grow a beard out and a hair out and everything. No, that means that we need to put on the traits, the characteristics, the nature of Jesus, those things that Jesus would do. We need to put that on. You see, it's a conscious thing. He's telling us, you know, put it on. Make up your mind. I don't need that. Make up your mind. I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus today. I'm going to put on his character. I'm going to put on the things that he would do, his nature. Can't do that. Well, let me tell you, Jesus said we could. John 14, 12, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now, if you don't believe that, well, he wasn't talking about you because he says he who believes in me. And you got to believe his word. But if we believe his word, I'm telling you, the body of Christ can do the works of Jesus. The body of Christ can do the works of Jesus and greater works than these. That's what he's talking about. Back to John, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You just got to let Jesus, the greater one, live in you. You know, we've all seen people that they want to live vicariously through their children. You know, they want their children to be able to accomplish things they didn't accomplish or things that maybe they didn't have the opportunity to do. Well, this is much more than vicarious. You know, vicarious is kind of pretend. This isn't vicarious. No, this is in actuality. Jesus wants to live through us. He wants to accomplish through us what he didn't do 2,000 years ago when he walked this earth. He could only be at one place at one time. But now, through his people, he's all around the world. And so many lives are being changed. Don't believe all the negative that you hear. I'm telling you, the church of Jesus Christ is moving forward. People are being saved faster than ever before. Yes. God is moving and working. There are miracles happening. But we need to realize that he's in us, and he wants us to show him to the world. We're going to go back to Romans 13, 14. He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Make no provision for the flesh. That's that old nature. You got to decide you're not going to let your flesh tell you what to do. Make no provision for it. Don't even leave any room for it. Put on the new nature. Put on Jesus. Make a choice to let the Spirit lead you. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, see, that's that person you used to be, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's that renewing the mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Born again believers. You got to make the choice. You see, it's not all just automatic when you got born again. But born again believers have to make the choice to put off that old nature, that old man, the person you used to be. Be renewed the way you think. Make up your mind you're going to be different. And then you put on the new man, created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, it can't just be something that happened, you know, I'm born again. It's got to be something that you're choosing to live out every day. Putting off that old nature. I'm not going to be that way anymore. No, I'm going to be like Jesus. Now, here's what happens a lot of the time. Well, anybody ever seen some believers that didn't act like Jesus? Anybody ever been a believer that didn't act like Jesus? Right? And here's what happens a lot of the time. Along comes the accuser of the brethren, and he'll just try to beat you down and condemn you and tell you you must not even be born again because, you know, you ain't acting like Jesus. And it's hard for me to preach this sometimes because I know how much I'm not like Jesus. You don't need to send me no email and tell me. I know all about it. But I want to tell you the truth. You're still born again, child of God, just because you made a mistake. I'm glad that we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're not perfect, but at least we're growing, we're learning. Amen. You're still a child of God. You just need to put off those things that aren't like Jesus, things that are of that old life. They don't fit the new you. We're new creatures in Christ, partakers of his divine nature. We are one of his brethren. He's the firstborn among many brethren. Those behaviors and attitudes of the past, you just got to take them off. And the behaviors and attitudes like Jesus, well, you put those on. How do you do that? It's just a choice that you make. You decide. You know, sometimes it's hard to get people to change their hairstyle or the way they dress. It's because they think it looks good. And man, can they be wrong, right? Or maybe they just think, well, that's the way I should dress. or maybe they just like it. But one of the things that's really common and why people dress a certain way is they, you know, everybody's kind of got their own style. And sometimes they just feel like their clothes fit who they are. This is me. You know, like I said, you do you and all that baloney. This is me. This is my style. But I got to tell you something. When it comes to that old nature, that don't fit anymore. That's right. And it ain't never coming back. I mean, I got a tie that's 22 years old. You know, some of you got some clothes. You're thinking, it'll come back. It'll come back. You know, a bunch of tie-dye stuff. And I hope nobody's wearing tie-dye tonight. But platform, bell-bottom, and all. I remember those days. But here's what I'm saying to you. See, when it comes to our spiritual life, that old man, those old clothes, that's never coming back. No, we need to put that off and put on the new man. And realize, see, that doesn't fit anymore. We're a new person. See, if you lost 50 pounds, I know there ain't one of you, if you lost 50 pounds, you'd want to still be wearing those clothes. No, you'd want some new clothes, right? And we need to realize we got new clothes to put on that make us look like Jesus. It's a new attitude. It's new ways of thinking. It's new way of treating people, new way of talking. That's right. Some of you need to put off some old talking. And I don't just mean profanity. That's a good place to start. But I mean being negative and complaining and talking about people. Retro will never be in spiritually. Colossians 3:12. And by the way, in the New King James Version, they put a little title. They added in a title here, and they call it the character of the new man. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Oh, how we need this kind of stuff in our world. These qualities are rare in our world. In fact, if you clothe yourself with these qualities, holy, he says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. You're going to stick out. See, that's putting Jesus on. This is the way our Savior was. That's how you be the light of the world. See? Being the light of the world doesn't mean we go out and yell ugly things to people because they're doing bad. That's just dumb. Nobody ever got saved because somebody yelled something ugly at them. No, we win people with the love of God and sharing the good news with them, not the bad news, but tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. I tell you, people know you're a Christian and that your faith is real and life-changing when they see those qualities in you. It goes on, the next verse, verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I'm telling you, the Spirit produces these things in our life, but it's our choice to walk in the Spirit, as the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians, that we got to choose to do that. And we got to choose to put on these characteristics in our life. Back to Romans 12:2 from our series on Sunday. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, we learn how to live a godly life. We learn how to be more like Jesus from the Word of God. And we renew our mind. We change the way we think. And oh, how it changes our life. You put on that new man. It's a choice. It's an act of your will. You know, we get dressed every day. And most of us dress accordingly to what we're going to do. I mean, if you're going to go mow the yard, you dress one way. If you're going to go work out, you dress another way. You know, if I'm going to preach on a Wednesday night, I might dress one way. If I'm going in there to paint a classroom, I'm going to dress a different way. And I'm just telling you that we need to dress to be who we are in this world. Now, I'm not talking about clothes anymore. I'm talking about what you're putting on as a believer, that you're putting on these traits of Jesus. You're putting on love and mercy and humility and kindness. You're putting this on every day so that you can go out and do what God has called you to do to represent Him, that you are being the body of Christ in the earth today. See, we got to put these things on if we're going to go out and do that. We can't be Jesus to anybody if we're still wearing those same old attitudes and same old mindsets and doing the same old things. But we are a child of the King, and we're here to tell others about Jesus. So dress for success spiritually. Prepare yourself to be used of God every day, to walk and talk like a child of the King. Jesus lives in us, and we need to let Him be seen on the outside. So you got to put Him on. This is a concept that is a truth that's taught several times in the Scripture, and yet it's talked about very little. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You gotta intentionally decide, you know what, I'm going to be like Jesus today. I'm not going to act that old way anymore. See, those old jealousies, insecurities, watching out for number one, being greedy, being prideful and judgmental and looking down on other people, talking about people. I'm going to put all that off. Getting mad. Somebody made me wait 5 minutes. I'm not a real patient person, y'all. Jesus is working on me. I'm learning to put on Jesus. I'm learning. I'm still growing. But I'm challenging you tonight. Let's do this. What Paul say? He said it so plainly. Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to let Jesus live in me. I want you to stand with me.